G'day listeners, you're back with Benny, Banksy and Boydy, the basketball blokes, dribbling all things Aussie hoops and NBL super coach.
That's right, it is a new era for fantasy basketball for the NBL and it's a new era for the basketball blokes, having covered the NBL fantasy game for the prior five seasons and having a little bit of success along the way, mind you. Personally, I finished highest of the group last season, making me the reigning top bloke with a 14th place finished.
And although I was first for a lot of that season, Benny, my highest finish was 8th the year prior.
Hold my beer, fellas. I've had a couple of top 10 finishes, remember? So I'm definitely not claiming the title of ordinary bloke.
Yeah, look, I'm not too sure how I claim top bloke status there, given I've got the worst ranking out of the lot of us. But it's probably a good time for me to tell you that we are brought to you today by our Patreon supporters.
Yes, and you can head to patreon.com/basketballblokes if you want access to Banksy's captains from round three onwards.
Not just the most loved Banksy's captains, we also send advanced stats in a weekly email throughout the year, but what you need to do is sign up now so you get access to our Patreon leagues and the preseason cheat sheet.
We put copies of the old cheat sheets on the website, which is basketballblokes.com. where we also have our live scoring and our Discord live game chat.
That's it, Benny. And you can sign up to the Discord group by becoming a Patreon, where you can complain to us about how you can't follow along because we have too many player nicknames.
And if you'd like to provide such feedback at a discount, you can sign up for our 12% Big Banger of a discount for subscribing annually. Everyone knows who Banger is, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Thanks for your support. Let's get to the pod.
All things Aussie hoops and NBL fantasy. Three blokes setting out to make super coach history. So many things that we cannot wait to see. When do we get onto the sauce? Perhaps a twoies or some bubbles? Or is it Miller time to celebrate our players' double-double? Party with bangers and some rock by DJ Mitchell. Is he a lock? The Kings can bring the chips like Jonah Bolden brought the dips. Will we get Albridge quick or at least very soon? We think it's Taron Armstrong that is going to the moon. How do we read our next stars? Are you superstitious? Impressive, Johnson Alex. The competition's Rips the Vicious. Robert said no Franks, so they got Franklin instead. They signed some wily veterans. Do they get over the humps ahead? The finalists have been all action with Vin Diesel and Denzel. Couldn't beat them, so they went Cheatham, who's fast and furious as well. Can't have a pair of Sams, but can they fill Pinder's shoes? And can we pair some Jordans when Crawford's small and Hunter's huge? Will Cummings hit a shot? JLA has hurt his wrist. With no AC, does Kel run hot? And is Huck Porty worth the risk? And Adams is back with his family. Let's usher in a new era of fantasy.
G'day listeners, you're back with Benny, Banksy and Boydy, the basketball blokes, dribbling all things Aussie hoops and NBL supercoach. And it's time for our Perth pre-blitz team preview.
41 points in the fourth quarter of the play-in qualifier.
That there is the moment of how, I guess, the last positive from the Perth Wildcats season, beating our Southeast Melbourne Phoenix with a massive 41 points in that final quarter, where Bryce Cotton went absolutely ballistic, but they didn't make the top four. So I think they are still on a two-season finalless streak. Let's go through some big ins because this could all change this year, and personally I think it's going to. Massive in with Keanu Pinder from the Cairns Taipans. The future of the franchise he's been described as in Ben Henschel. Alex Saar or Alex Starr potentially. Jordan Usher and some outs. They've lost Norton, Travers, Manic and Sean Thomas, some big outs. But just on some of the ins, it was reported that and rumoured that there is some interest in Johnny O'Brien's as an import. He's a 4-5-ish type player. Another JB3, Johnny O'Brien the third, his name is. So that's quite ironic after the John Brown incident. But we got a tweet there from Lockie Reed and he confirmed that the Wildcats did have some interest, but there's no contract as yet.
That was a couple of weeks ago too, so thinking that's maybe slipping, falling by the wayside.
And worth mentioning that, like, even if he was to come in, probably seeing very limited time at the Blitz and probably won't acclimatise to the game at the start of the season. So what we've got now is probably what we've got to look at. Moving on to the all-important schedule.
failing to plan is planning to fail. It's time for the Schedulizer.
Looking at the Schedulizer, I think the wide level Perth schedule is it's probably the most least interesting.
Of the most
least interesting of all teams. And the reason most is it's just the doubles are so sparse. There's no stretch of doubles. They do start with a double in round one. They've got a double in round three, but only two in the first five rounds. And then thereafter, it's just very, very sparse. You've just got doubles surrounded by singles. There's nothing of great interest where you're going to want Perth guys in for a long stretch. And that makes it really interesting when you're talking, you know, some of the big elite performers like Cotton, when you do have him in your team, when you pay up for him, because there's just no real stretch of doubles. So Perth's a really interesting one with the Schedulizer.
One of those teams that has the double in the last round, which is obviously the grand final round for leagues. Yes. One to take note. Melbourne, the other one that has that double in the last round. But otherwise, we've got New Zealand and Illawarra have the two doubles in the last two rounds.
So there's only one stage of the season where Perth have back-to-back doubles, and that's in round 16 and 17. Outside of that, they do not have back-to-back doubles for the entire season.
Mm. Well, what else might make these players interesting if we're going to decide to select them in our teams or not is the position battles as we go through Boydie's battles. How's that Perth lineup looking, particularly with an import potentially yet to be signed? Please try to include that in your analysis.
Yeah, well, we've got it on basketballblokes.com/rollingrosses. We have a big gap there where there's a no center there at the moment. So that's probably the biggest question going into it. If it's someone that comes in and starts at that 4-5 spot, you've got Keanu Pinder. But I think they're pretty settled, aren't they? I'm not sure that there's too many battles for those starting positions. Depth-wise, they kind of got a little bit of depth all across the board, really.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Cotton will play a lot of minutes like he always does. They got Henschel, as you said, who's described as the future of the thing, the backup one spot behind Ty Webster.
Yep.
Corey Webster's going to be that six man off the bench.
That'll be interesting.
He'll be their scorer kind of thing as well.
Yep.
As always, Wagstaff's there. He's been there since 1972. So
and interesting, in the last games, we saw Wagstaff actually started. So that will be... Right. Didn't play as many minutes as Saar, but he did start.
And that might be the thing. They might just settle the nerves for the big next star and just have him...
Avoid some foul trouble
correct.
And like.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting with regards to battles, and we'll wait and see if they get that extra signing. But going through the preseason scoring, if you're a Patreon supporter, you'll be able to go and see these preseason scores based on points per minute, points per dollar, and sorted by average and... Couple that were very high up in the averages were Bryce Cotton and Alex Saar and Jordan Usher as well.
Big three.
Boydie, Jordan Usher averaged 29 Supercoach points so far in this preseason. Is he in your fantasy side in one word?
Maybe.
Come on.
Yes.
That's the correct answer.
At the moment, yes.
I almost rehearsed this with you prior to the pod.
I do.
I'm going to ask you one more time. Is Jordan Usher in your side?
Yeah.
Thank you. Ben Henschel, very interesting to me at 16.5 super coach points per game. We did put out the poll, though, as we always do, and Alex Saar, without surprise, was the top polling respondent, 46.5%. Wanted us to discuss Alex Saar, and we've left that big responsibility to Banksy.
You have Alexandre Saar, projected first round pick in the 24 NBA draft. He is available as a forward / center at 115K. And off the back of the two Ignite games, he is now 35% owned. So one of the most owned players in the game as it stands. Now, in those two games, he had 37 Supercoach points in the first game. That was in 29 minutes with no Pinder. The second game, he had 55 Supercoach points in 36 minutes. So probably scale those minutes right back in the season proper. What I did like is that included six massive blocks, and Pinder did play in that game. He played the 14 minutes as well. But as we've stated, another import big is slated at some stage that could affect Saar. But at the moment, he is absolutely locked away in my squad as it stands.
And Banksy, you did mention that you have to scale them back. But one way you can do that, it was 48 minutes games and they played in the Ignite, which they're going to try and feature these guys like Henshaw and that in front of all the NBA scouts. But he was, in fact, the number one points per minute player out of all of the Perth Wildcats, Alex Saar, despite playing those 36 minutes per game. So even though we should think about scaling back, he's still putting out those points per minute.
Smash as it stands, it should be one of the biggest dollar-making guys we have right now, I think.
Are we at all concerned about a potential new import coming in? I don't think so at this stage. I think he's almost...
I think if you heard him in that, they heard that round table that they did with Simon Mitchell, etc. Mm-hmm. They said he's good. He's definitely ready to play 10, 15 minutes
that
straight
was
away.
Was that Sam Vecenie?
Has
been hoops.
Yeah, that's the one.
It was that one. You're right. So 10 minutes easy come in. I reckon at the points per minute, he's going to be making what he needs to make anyway. By the looks of him,
that's a good point.
And then there's only upside from there.
And that was prior to the two Ignite games as well.
Correct.
That's right. So for like the Ignite games, they've got two players that are two highest ranked prospects heading into the NBA draft for next season. And I'm a Houston Rockets fan, so I follow everyone on NBA draft Twitter because we've been high up there. And like lots of people saying they are very comfortable moving Alex Saar into their top five prospects.
Ooh, wow.
Going ahead for next season. And I look at the pairing with Pinder. I honestly don't think the way they move both of those guys, they can be awesome on the defensive end and like too quick for if they come up against any lumbering types as well. Those block numbers, Banksy, did you mention those? He had
six
in both games.
That was in the second game.
In the second game. I think it was back-to-back six-block games against Ignite. It was something quite amazing, to be honest.
Six.
Yep. So one more and he's the devil. And I think he can't move from my team. My question to you, round one, if we don't get this new import, do you think he's potentially playable starting on the double on your starting court for round one? Just imagine things you could do structurally.
Yes.
It was a question we got on Twitter. I think it was from Dottie.
Was it really?
It was exactly that a bit earlier this morning. I did post out the...
could you imagine what you could do
post
with
out the box, the fantasy box scores from the two games? And that is exactly what he came back with. He's a lock, but could he be a lock in your starting squad? Imagine what you could do...
On your forward or centre, round one.
Starter.
The problem is, as Banksy mentioned, you would have to... Match him up with someone with that good schedule.
Yeah, you'd have to play the schedule game and make sure you've got coverage there to get him on because you probably wouldn't play him as a starter on singles.
Yeah, I'd say that is the case. Next in line that we're going to discuss is, of course, Bryce Cotton. Boydie, you have the responsibility and one of the big structural questions heading into NBL Supercoach this season.
Yeah, so he's the most expensive player, isn't he? He's had the highest average from last year if you're looking at the new scoring system.
By 10%. 10% better than the second player. Like, it's massive, the gap.
Yep, huge.
And even from Creek down, there's another big gap. So, seriously, a very strong consideration.
Correct. And obviously, we are contractually obligated to mention his name at least once for all our Perth and WA fans over there. So, we've done that now. So, that's good. But he's just keep it on. He's the second G League Ignite game. He had 64 NBL Supercoach points on 40 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals and a block. Just doing everything as Bryce does.
I didn't like it at all. Do you know why?
Why?
Because I don't have him in my team.
Yeah, I know. I'm the same.
And I like what I can do with that extra cash.
Yep.
But then I look at that 64 and that's scary to not have him in my team.
Double 64s to start off your round. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So.
It's tough.
It's a hard one. He's going to be, if not already is, the most owned player because it's just the way it goes. I think Travis is slightly ahead of him at the moment. Come round one, I wouldn't be surprised if Bryce is sitting up there at the top, even with his price.
Can I take you back to last season? No. Round one, first game, a historic, never before done statistical line in round one. He was on the single. We all faded him. We were not playing him. He had 91 fantasy points in the first game of last season. And this is the type of explosion you saw in the G League.
Yep.
That is the type of explosion you can get where he's just capable on the singles. And if he did average what he averaged, if that 40 amount, like that is per game, you could legit just sit him there,
keep him there
for the whole season. There is no need.
You captain him on the doubles.
It's a genuine start-sit decision whether or not you play him on the single or put him on the bench. He could be just a stone-cold keeper. It's just whether or not you think with this lineup there's going to be more guys that are going to take away some of that volume from him this season.
Now, as it stands, he will start the season on a double. As it stands right now, do either of you have him in your squad?
No. I did until Alan Williams was injured. It made me restructure my team a little bit, thinking that I can get away with someone else as my captain. But prior to that, and depending on some other news we get out about potential backups for Alan Williams, my other option for my lineup will be a Creek and Cotton lineup. So, yes, I have had him. But even if I did have him, my plan is to only keep him for 1 week.
I think it's a big one for a lot of people is Creek and Cotton, one, neither. It's so much of your salary between those two if you're starting with both, isn't it? And what you can do with that extra cash elsewhere.
It is. I'm currently torn on that one. But another player who was in my side the entirety of the preseason until my latest adjustment was Ty Webster. Now
he's out now. Okay. Out of your side. Now.
He's currently out of my side. So I still think he's a fantastic option, to be honest. So just for some perspective, back in NBL 21, we're talking fantasy points, he averaged essentially 40. Last season, he averaged 22.5. So we're almost dealing with a half-price player based on his previous performance for the New Zealand Breakers at the time. As we know, the New Zealand Breakers always stack their guards. He didn't really have a clean run at it as it was. He was competing against Will McDowell White and the like. So last season he had scores of 6 and 2 and 11 coming off the back of injury as well and missing a game. I think that Banksy may have even traded him into his team at one point. But
I did.
A lot of people did because he did have 46 and 44 fantasy points after finally working his way into the rotation. And I haven't minded what I've seen, to be honest. He did have a real stinker with a 2 in one of the preseason games, but his current average is affected by that. He had 28 Supercoach points and 21 in his last couple of games. And that would
They were the Ignite games.
They were the Ignite games. They would be making him money based on his current price. I think that he is an excellent option still, despite only averaging 15 Supercoach points across the preseason.
Now, Benny, he is actually in my team as it stands, but do you know the flag? What has me worried is those two Ignite games, they were very high scoring. Very high scoring games.
Yep.
And they're also 48-minute games as well.
But he didn't play a lot of minutes in them. So I think that the minutes he played in them is quite representative of what he should play in the NBL. I also like that before that, so we've got...
So 26 minutes and 22 minutes. I haven't got to my flag yet. My flag is he hit one field goal in each of the games.
Ugh.
In very high scoring games.
Ugh. So this is true. So he obviously...
Many super coaches is
many mouths
very,
to feed there at Perth.
Yeah. Yeah. That could, it is a genuine flag. Thank you for raising it. He had many 30-point games in his NBL 21 season. Nearly had triple doubles as well. It's just, what are you going to get with Ty? Like, if you're looking about, can he play with his brother? He was playing with his brother when he averaged 40 fantasy points a game. So, for the Breakers, has he been in your team at all, Boydie? Is he even in consideration?
Not at this stage.
Not at this stage? Interesting.
It feels like a very risk-reward pick, doesn't it?
Oh, I think he's such good value.
He's definitely underpriced, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
But it's such a risk-reward pick. And he did burn me last season when I brought him in.
Okay.
But he's still in my team now.
There you go.
So, as it sounds, how many Perth guys in your team?
2.
Just the one at the moment.
two for me at present, but that's changing by the minute almost. As always, you can find us on X at @bball_blokes. You're on Facebook, Basketball Blokes, or www.basketballblokes.com.
G'day there, it's Zach, also known as the Fez, coach of the Fez Monkeys. I gotta say, the best part of being a Patreon supporter is the ever so helpful Basketball Blokes community. Whether it be team advice, injury news, or Boydie's gifts, the Discord chat has it covered. Also, quite handy for those pesky last minute player withdrawals.
Hey guys, Denna Melrose here, coach of OK Then. And my favourite part about being a Patreon with the Basketball Blokes is all the data and stats they send through. It's worth far more than they charge, and it couldn't be more handy.
Hi everybody, my name's Ruby and I'm the coach of the McVeigh Times. My favourite thing about being a Patreon supporter is the pre-season cheat sheet and knowing that I'm going to get my team off to the best start, and the Discord chat where everyone helps me see sense after I get a little trade wild.
Hey, I'm Watto and I'm the coach of the Coogee Hornets. If you want to get all the stats, have some great banter with all those like-minded fantasy individuals, make sure you get on board with the Basketball Blokes and become a Patreon.